Good morning. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. And while you're turning there, let me ask you a hypothetical question. Let's say God called you to take the gospel to an unreached people group, and he told you that in your lifetime, you would never see a single convert. You'd spend your whole life ministering to these people and never see the results in your lifetime. Would you do that? I hope you would. Now, what if he called you to minister to these people and didn't tell you that you would never see results? How discouraged would you be at the end of your life if you never saw the results of your work? You know, we like to see the results of our efforts. No matter what we're doing, we like to feel we're making a difference. We like to know we're making a difference. And even if we've learned not to demand instant gratification, we like to know in the long term that our work is not going to waste. However, in life, there are many times that we don't see the results right away. We can pour our time into a ministry that we really believe in, and when we don't see change, it's easy to become discouraged, just like Elijah was discouraged in this story. 1 Kings 19, verse 9. And this happens immediately after the contest on Mount Carmel. Interesting that the highest point in Elijah's ministry and the lowest point came one right after the other. You know, we talk about mountaintop experiences. His was literally on a mountaintop. But then when Jezebel was threatening him, he got scared and ran off to this cave. Okay, starting in verse 9. Then he came there to a cave and lodged. Oh, wait, I'm going to read this in King James. He came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." I'm going to stop reading there. But God goes on to give Elijah a list of instructions. He says, "Do this, this, and this, and then I'm going to do this." And he tells Elijah that there are 7,000 people in the land of Israel that have never bowed the knee to Baal. There are several important points that we can take from this story. First of all, the fact that God was not in the wind, the fire, or the earthquake. Now, they just had the experience on Mount Carmel where God sent fire. But here in this case, God is not in the fire. So the lesson I take from this is that, you know, we like to see big dramatic things happening, but the Holy Spirit often works in very subtle ways. It often takes years to see the effect of the changes that we would like to see right now. And, you know, I'm not really sure how effective that contest on Mount Carmel was. I'm not sure if the people really made a dramatic change right at that point. But God's Spirit, that still small voice, works in small ways and it works very slowly sometimes, many times actually. Another lesson that I take from this story is that we don't see everything God is doing. Elijah thought he was the only one serving God. God told him there are still 7,000 people out there. There's such a huge difference between our perspective and God's perspective. And another thing, God sees the past and he sees the future. We only see what's happening here in, well, we can read about the past, but we really only see what's happening right here in our lifetime. So it's just very important for us to keep that in mind. Now, years ago, I was listening in on a conversation between some of the youth guys. I can't even remember who it was, but they were talking about children's ministry, and this was right around the time that Rise Kids Church was starting. And I should ask those of you who are involved in Rise, have you ever felt like Elijah did? That your hard work isn't doing any good? I'm sure sometimes you feel like that, don't you? So I was listening to some guys talking, and I think one of them had talked to someone else from another community where they'd had a children's ministry for a long time. He was quoting that person as saying that, you know, often these kids come to kids' church, you know, for years, and then when they reach high school, you know, they leave kids' church and apparently walk away from God. And, of course, long after that conversation, I thought about what I wished I would have said. You know how that goes. But I think that's a short-sighted approach, because the work we do often has very, very far-reaching consequences that we don't see right away. So let's go into a little speculation or theory. Let's say there's a kid who comes to Rise for years, and then when they get older, they seem to walk away from God. Seems they don't really remember the things they learn. But because of the influence you've had on your life, they make a few different life choices. They don't get involved in drugs or gang culture, and then they don't go to prison, And so they're involved in their own children's lives, and their own children make different choices, better choices. This is just speculation, of course, but it really could happen. The impact you make in a person's life lasts for the rest of their life. It ripples down through generations, really, and it lasts long after you're gone. So I just want to encourage you that you're probably having a much bigger influence than you really realize. Another thing to keep in mind, I was reading recently how the chaos and the instability of a dysfunctional home can cause permanent changes to a child's brain chemistry. And those changes follow them throughout adulthood. And I think Kids Church is a very bright spot in some children's lives who otherwise have a pretty unhappy life. So that's just something else to keep in mind. Lastly, let's take a look at Jesus and his disciples. So Jesus taught his disciples for 3 years. They lived together. They worked together. And by the end of Jesus' time on earth, they still didn't really understand what was going on. They still thought he was going to establish an earthly kingdom. And then when he was arrested, they ran. They scattered. Not a single one of them stayed with him. Then when Peter was asked if he knows Jesus, he denied it. So from a human perspective, the disciples were failures. At that point, they were failures. But after Jesus' ascension and the Holy Spirit came, they finally got it. As they remembered and discussed the words of Jesus, everything started to make sense. And for the rest of their lives, they faithfully spread the gospel. That's just another example of how long it can take to really see results. So, in conclusion, when things just aren't going the way you'd like them to, just remind yourself how limited your own perspective is. Remember that God sees the big picture, that you're playing a very small part in his larger plan. Our job is to faithfully do what he calls us to do, and we need to leave the results to him. Let's kneel for prayer. God, I thank you for all the good gifts you've given to us. Help us to always be grateful for what you've given to us and to share your gifts with the people around us. Help us not to become discouraged when we don't see things going our way, but to just help us to trust in you to accomplish your plan. Pray that you'd bless our Sunday school hour and the remainder of this service. Pray these in Jesus' name. Amen.